Hello, dear friends, to today's sermon. Our text for today will be taken from Hosea 5, verses 4. That's Hosea 5, verses 4. It reads as follows. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And I pray God's most precious word may bless you today. The book of Hosea, of course, if you are new to the Christian faith and in tuning into the sermon, the book of Hosea comes after the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Now, Hosea was known as, you may have heard this terminology before, as a minor prophet. There were many other minor prophets like Joel, Habakkuk, and many other ones. He was known as a minor prophet not because his recorded writings were of any less value or authority than the other major prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel and so on. It's not because they were of any less value or authority. It is because they were substantially shorter, his recorded writings. And so I just wanted to make that clarification. Hosea was first of all the minor prophets raised somewhat before the time of the prophet Isaiah. And God's prophets really are God's messengers, and they were sent and raised up by God to reveal to the people the mind of God, to warn the people, to challenge the people, to, of course, help the people, to keep them on the straight and narrow, as it were. And Hosea, in particular, had a very challenging ministry that he was asked to do. He was not only asked to convince the people of their sin in the face of God by his words, by the words that the Lord God gave him, he was also asked to really demonstrate by action how the people had gone a-whoring away from their God, spiritually a-whoring away, had been so unfaithful to the faithful God, the covenant-keeping God who blessed them, who they were bound to, the Lord God who had delivered them and had set his love upon them and had blessed them. They had been so unfaithful to the Lord God. And Hosea was to not only warn with his words, but of course with his actions. And we can read about that in Hosea 1, verses 2. That's Hosea 1, verses 2. It reads as follows. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. And so, like I said, he was given a very challenging ministry. He was not only to show of the great offence of the sin of the children of Israel and of Judah, by warning them by his words that God had given him, but he has also had to demonstrate by actually taking to wife a whore of their whoredoms. And you can imagine how difficult this must have been for Hosea. Hosea, of course, was a man raised up by God, a holy man. He was dedicated to the things of God. And the people must have thought, how bizarre. Why is this man taking to wife someone which we know amongst us is infamous for being a whore, for living a completely immoral life, a life away from God, a filthy life, in complete opposition to God? Why is this holy man doing this? Of course, he was doing it to demonstrate to them how they were treating God, how they were a-whoring from God, the God who had loved them, the God who had created them and had blessed them and had given them so many things, had delivered them from their strong enemies and had made them into a great nation and had protected them and guided them by his word. And yet they had been unfaithful. They had almost like a whore who Hosea was to marry. They had been like that, continually breaking their covenant of marriage, as were continually being unfaithful to the God who, the husbandman who set his love upon them. And so a challenging ministry, of course, this is never ever to be copied or used as an excuse, as some people pluck passages out of scripture and take it out of context and use it as an excuse to persist in sin. This was a one-off. This was a particular ministry he was given. It wasn't for his benefit. It was to show the people of their great sin in the face of God, to demonstrate it. And so God's covenanted people got very complacent. They forgot the word of the living God. They forgot about his word, and how he had guided them and blessed them. They had been to God like an unfaithful spouse, continually breaking their covenant of marriage, as it were. The Lord, they were bound to the Lord. The Lord delivered them out of Egypt and, like I said, blessed them over and over again and guided them with his words and gave them a law and his word far superior to any other nation upon earth that blessed them. And yet they went a whoring away from him, and they were unfaithful and continually rebelled from him. And so Hosea in today's passage was urging the people to repent and to reform. Their sin had brought them into danger. God saw their sin, their pretense of holiness and their pretense of outward religion was not enough. God saw what they were up to, and they were in great danger because of their sin. And so Hosea shows the people the consequences of their sin. God had a controversy with them, and their sin had to be punished. And you know, the worst thing that the Lord God can ever do to anyone is to withdraw himself from us. That's the worst thing God can do to anyone. And you know, we here in the West, we in England or in America or in the West, who have been mightily blessed by the word of God, the Lord God has raised up great evangelists and men of old and people of old, like Whitfield and Spurgeon and Jonathan Edwards, and so many great men of old. And he has brought revival to this land, spiritual awakening to this land. And countless people have been saved, and it's affected our institutions and many things. Many freedoms that we have in the West have come, have been born out of our past reformations, our Christian heritage. But of course now we're living in a post-Christian society, and we see that, don't we? When the Lord, when a people depart from God, they go a-whoring from God, we see the devastating consequences of how people are left, how God withdraws himself. There's no true repentance there. There's no genuine love for the Lord God. And we see, dear friends, only a remnant of people really are left who truly love the Lord. And the Lord's, of course, a hand is stayed upon that nation because of that remnant. That's the only reason why this country, the UK, has not seen the full wrath of the Lord God, because there's a remnant of true repenting people believing in him. And so the worst thing the Lord God can do is withdraw himself from us because of our sin. It says in Hosea 4, verses 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou should be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. You know, many people have forgotten the law of God. Many people have forgotten the words of God. They live their life away from God. They frame their doings where they employ all sorts of entertainments, all sorts of things They never open up their Bible to read their Bible to their families, to their children. And our society is geared around our entertainment system. It's geared around all these things, living for self. We live in such an outward, flashy society. And you see, the children of Israel and Judah had become like this. They went whoring from God. They were being sucked into all these false idols. And we see that today, you know, with our celebrity culture and our sports culture, you know, there's so much time is spent upon these things. The Lord withdrawed, there's a danger of the Lord withdrawing himself from them. And we see that in our culture. You know, my wife and I have recently had a little baby girl, and we praise the Lord for this new member of our family. Observing this little baby, it's quite remarkable to see how she depends upon her mother so much. You know, their mother doesn't, you know, I can testify, not getting a massive amount of sleep at the moment. Neither is my wife. And the baby, when she wants milk, sincere milk from her mother, it's not long before she gets it. You know, a baby needs her mother and needs that lifeline. And dear friends, we need the sincere milk and meat of God's word. For man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. We cannot just live as if there's no God in our life. There's no judgment day. There's no eternity to come. There is a God who has made us. And if we're Christians and we are backslidden, this is a message for backslidden Christians as well, or Christians who perhaps have got complacent, this is a message for you. You need to start to frame your doings like it says, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. Well, I will say to you, frame your doings around the things of God. And perhaps that's why you're not seeing blessing in your life, because you're not framing yours or perhaps your children's doings upon the things of God. How are you living your day-to-day life? How are you living your week, your day-to-day, your week? You know, yes, it is good to go to the means of grace and to go to midweek meetings, but our whole lives need to be framed around the Word of God. There's got to be a genuine love for putting God first in life. We have got to completely frame our lives around Him. And so we see here really a picture of the prophet Hosea warning the people. It says in Hosea 4 verses 5, therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. You know, all those, you know, if you're listening to this and you're still living in sin, you know, God is bringing you all the means in your life. He is bringing perhaps ministers or people who are witnessing to you, and perhaps many other things. Perhaps you're even a church attender, but you still have sin in your life. There's still secret sin in your life. You perhaps have gotten away with it up until this point, but you know in your heart that there's still sin in your life. You have not truly turned from your sin to the Lord Jesus. There's no ongoing true repentance in your life. There's no true framing of your whole life. But God doesn't have the whole of your heart. And whoever's listening to this, I'll say to you, dear friends, don't carry on in sin, because the Lord God will, if you persist like an unfaithful spouse to the faithful God, to our faithful Creator, if you persist in your sin and carry on in your sin, you know, over time, yes, the Lord is merciful and He is patient and long-suffering, but He will withdraw Himself, and you'll be left with your sin. You'll be left, your sin will have dominion over you. And that is a horrible thing, friends. The busy will get busier. The hearts will get hardened and harder over time, and you'll become more resistant to the pricks of conscience and the things of God over time. Dear friends, that call may never happen. Today is a day of salvation. Turn unto him. Now frame your life. Turn to the things of God. Put those things in your life which are conducive to salvation. Open up your Bible. Study your Bible. Seek the Lord your God with all your heart. Frame your whole life. Make that a priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so once again, let us look at today's sermon text from Hosea 5 verses 4. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And so who was Hosea the prophet speaking to here? Was he just speaking to the children of Israel? Does this just apply to him? Well, it says in verse 1, "Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is towards you." This was addressed to all the people, both the common people, O house of Israel, to the priests, those who were supposed to be pointing the people to holiness of living, pointing people to God's word, to warning people, and of course, to those royalty, the king. And so this applied to all the people then, both in all offices, in all positions. And the Lord, of course, gave Hosea the courage to speak plainly. How we need ministers, really, to speak plainly to the people, not being respecters of persons, no matter if that offends the king or even fellow ministers. They need to be standing up for the Lord and his word. There needs to be far more of that. And we see Hosea here addressing the priests, the common people, and the king, all types of offices, all types of positions. Neither the sanctity of the priests or the dignity of the royals could keep out sin. All were guilty. None were exempt from the guilt and neglect and of their sin. They were spiritual, a whoring away from God. But we see here, remarkably, the accuracy of Scripture. Look who is first on God's, on Hosea's hit list, as it were. It was the priests in verse 1. Hosea charges first the priests because, of course, the priests, the Levites, were numerous in Israel and in Judah. They had many cities which the Lord God gave them and blessed them. And they were supposed to be those, like those cities on a hill that cannot be hidden. They were supposed to be hidden. They were supposed to be like bright lights to the people. They were supposed to be, so they're supposed to direct people to God's word and to God's Lord, and to uphold them and esteem them, and to reverence God's word and be examples of that, and to lead people and to direct people to the things of God and into holiness. And that's what they were to do. And so we see here Hosea's message from the Lord, first of all, to priests. And of course, how we see that nowadays, don't we? Just like then, so now is the case. You know, God hates a pretense of holiness. He desires true, genuine a piety and zeal and holiness within. He seeks truth from within. And, you know, we see so much, so many ministers and priests who have become so worldly. They have not framed their doings to turn unto God. Their lives are not dedicated to the Lord. Their lives the way they live their lives are not dedicated to the work, to the Lord. You know, they can have the best theology in the world, but ultimately, if their lives do not demonstrate their theology, you know, it's all for nothing. You know, it's sad to say that many a priest will be the very instrument the devil uses in leading many into hell. And that, of course, is why we are not to put our confidence in a man or any other thing. We are to put our confidence in Jesus Christ alone, the only Saviour of the world, the Word of God that became flesh and dwelt amongst us and lived that perfect life that we could never live and died on the cross of Calvary for sinners such as us. He is the only one qualified to take our sin away. And, you know, we see how so many religions put their emphasis upon people as if they can save you. If you take, for instance, examples, Roman Catholicism that parades as Christian. Of course, it's not Christian. You know, we see how people go and confess their sins to a man in a booth. And of course, there's only one mediator between man and God, and that's Christ Jesus. No man can take away your sins. Only Jesus Christ can. And we see that ecumenical movement going into the Church of England and charismatic churches. We see really how many a minister have been given over to worldliness, bringing in entertainments, bringing in flashy amusements to not only bring the people in, but keep the people entertained. It's not the Word of God that's keeping the people entertained and keeping the people there. It's all these amusements, all these entertainments. You know, many a priest have been given over to these things. Their lives are not framed around the Word of God. They have gone to the culture. They have gone to what they think is right. And it's sad to say that they are directing the people into sin. And ultimately, of course, the Lord will... They will one day stand accountable for such things. You know, the worldling, those who profess to be Christians, but really there's no real work of grace done in their hearts. You know, the Lord gives them the king or the priest, as it were, after their own heart. You know, like Saul, the people wanted to be like the nations round about them. And the Lord gave them a king after their own heart, King Saul. They couldn't wait for King David. You know, and it's just like people now. They want a nice, non-offensive man, a man that won't point out their sin, that won't warn them from God's word. You know, a politically correct man that doesn't warn them of these things and doesn't speak plainly like Hosea does in his word, who perhaps will be biased to some, and those who perhaps are a bit more pious, those are more zealous, they'll be very harsh to, and they'll criticize, but of course those who are lukewarm, they'll be very friendly to, and we see so much of that nowadays. Hosea had not cowardly shied away from telling the people of their evil ways. He dealt plainly with them. And so let us once again look at today's sermon text from verse 4. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. You know, when we think about a frame, when you think about a frame, when we frame a picture, we've got to fit it inside into a frame to hold a picture in place. And really, you know, if we truly desire to seek and to know the Lord savingly, we've got to frame our lives around Him. We've got to seek and put those things in our life which are conducive to the means of grace. You know, you see within a charismatic movement, you know, come up, walk up, and we'll save you right here and right now. No, we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and seek him with all our heart and turn from our sin and put in place those things which we know according to scripture are God-honoring. Look in his word. Switch off the TV, switch off the games, take yourself away from the entertainments. If you're a Christian and you're struggling to know of God's guidance and blessing, take away all those things in your life. Frame your life around the word of God. It says in Psalm 9:10, "For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Seek him and put the things of God first in your life. Seek the things of God first and put those things, frame your doings around the Lord God. Every day when you wake up, are you putting the Lord God first? Are you praying to him and committing the day to him? Are you having that quiet time with him? Are you having family devotional time with him? Or does the TV come on? Do silly soaps, or are you a fan of a football club? Have you got a plethora of other hobbies and you just sit your children in front of TV games so you can do your own thing? These things, dear friends, are worldly. We are to frame our life around the things of God. We are to seek him. He will always save those who truly seek him first in life and make him a priority in life. And it's really sad to say that so many professing Christians do not frame their life around the word of God. We see that so many Christians just allow so many things to creep into their life. So many distractions to creep into their life. Their day-to-day life is not framed around the word of God. You know, the word of God is not even secondary or third thing. So many other things take priority. Sports is a big one in the UK, and I'm sure across the world. And other such things, other such entertainments and amusements take priority. And really, dear friends, we need to repent of this, the secret love of these things. And we need to frame ourselves around the words of the living God. You know, the reason why we don't frame our lives around the word of God is because it interferes with our sin, doesn't it? That's really why. That's why we don't read our Bibles as we ought to read our Bibles. And if you're not a Christian or perhaps you're a backsliding Christian, pick up your Bible, read your Bible, make sure that nothing interrupts that time with the Lord. Put aside that time, guard that time, and give yourself totally, frame your life around God's word. Now seek him first, friend, in life. Yes, it may hurt for some time, but the Lord will bless you. He will help you to overcome those Goliath sins in your life. He is faithful, dear friends. If you seek him and you frame your life around him and put those things like a frame, put those things in your life which are conducive to the means of grace, to going to the means of grace, to go to a faithful Bible-believing church that upholds not only in faith but in practice the things of God. Because, you know, it is sad to say that there are many, many churches, sad to say, even so-called Bible-believing Reformed, Orthodox Reformed churches that speak the good speak, as it were. They talk about the doctrines of grace and theology. And, you know, they can say everything right in terms of theology, in terms of the doctrines of grace. But in their doings, in their practice, it doesn't match the theology. You know, every day is not framed around the Word of God. You know, social media and so many other things are taking place. In other words, it's not authentic. And there's so much of that nowadays. Is your life centered around the Word of the living God? Has he truly saved you? That's what it comes down to. That's what the Hosea is saying to the people. You have not known the Lord. You have not known the Lord. I know you, says the Lord. I know Ephraim and Israel. It's not hid from me. I know your secret sins. You may be getting away with your sin. You may be attending church. You may be doing all these things. But deep down, you know that you're living a life away from God. And God sees you in your sin. He sees those things, those idols in your life. And really, dear friends, do you want to carry on like that? Do you want to just carry on in your sin and the Lord getting more distant away in your life, withdrawing himself, withdrawing those means in your life? Friends, you need to turn to him. You need to frame your life around him. You see, the people in Hosea's day were just trying to keep up, as it were, with the Joneses of religion. And just a show, an outward show, you know, still going to the temple, as it were, still doing those things. But secretly, they were giving themselves to the worship of idols, still seeking for the things of this world. Am I speaking to perhaps someone out there that deep down, you know, in your heart, that you're truly not yet the Lord's? You can be the Lord, you know, but you have to receive him into your heart by his grace, of course, and you have to seek him first in life. He has to have your whole heart, dear friends. You've got to turn from your sin and mean it, and put in place those things in your life which are conducive to the things of God. And until he's yours and you're his, then of course you'll know of his blessing and his keeping in your life. It says in verse 3, I know Ephraim and Israel is not hid from me. You know, the Lord knows. Our sins are not hid from him. In other words, you can try to secretly, like the people in Hosea's day, you can try secretly and artfully to persist in trying to cover up your sins and living away from God. And perhaps you even belong to a church, and perhaps you even call yourself a Christian, but deep down you know that there's no real work of grace has been done in the heart. You know you're truly not the Lord's. The Lord says you need to be born again. You must be born again. You need to become a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When we're born of God, there is a new desire, new principles in life to live for him, to frame our lives around his word, and not around what society wants us to be, not around our culture's ideals. You know, God not only saw their ingenuousness, the ingenuousness of the people towards him, he saw how they were drawing other people into sin. He saw that as well. And of course, he was a witness against them. He sees, and perhaps you may think, well, I've gotten away with it for a long time, my sin. The Lord sees your sin, friends, and he is a witness against you. And so Hosea presents God's charges against them in verse 1. He says in the second part of verse 1, ye have been a snare on Mizpah and a net spread upon Tabor. Now, such snares and nets, huntsmen, people who hunted, they used such snares and nets upon the mountains of Mizpah and Tabor. They caught game, and they used such nets and snares. And one commentator said, Some think it was their practice to set spies in the road upon the mountains of Mizpah and Tabor at times of the solemn feast at Jerusalem to watch if any of their people were spiritually affected. And so the people were not only living in sin, secretly living in sin from away from God, going or whoring away from God, like an unfaithful spouse continually rebelling from God, they were encouraging others to do the same. They would prosecute those who were pious or wanted to live for the God, or who wanted to frame themselves, who were affected by the things of God. They prosecuted them, and they were trying to disquiet them, whom they were trying to debauch, and thus doing the devil's work. And we see so much of this today, dear friends. You know, those who are standing up for the Lord and speak plainly for the Lord, they are often the devil, sad to say, through many other Christians, so-called Christians, people try to disquiet them and call them legalists and call them other such things, or gossip about them to try to shut them up, really, and to stop the truth from coming out. And so those really that entice us to sin, however they may pretend friendship upon us, are to be looked upon as a snare and as a net, as it were. We've got to be discerning Christians. The people in Hosea's day had committed spiritual whoredom. They had defiled their own bodies with fleshly lusts and defiled their own souls with their worship of idols. There was no real genuine repentance and turning to God alone. And can I just ask you a question? Have you truly, truly turned from your sin to Christ for salvation, full and free? Is there true repentance in your life? Every day, when you wake up every day, are you living a life where you commit the day to Him and you bring the day before Him, and in the evening and throughout the day, you bring your burdens and you ask God's help? Is there true repentance and faith towards the Lord Jesus? Is your whole life framed around the Lord Jesus Christ? His causes. You love the things that God loves. You hate the things God hates. Are you doing that? Are you seeking and putting in place those things that would see God's blessing upon your life? Are you framing those things? Are you putting in place those things? Or have you given up? Have you given into your sin and you're just living for your sin, and it's become like a snowball which just, as it goes downhill, just collects more and more and more, and it gets bigger and bigger? You need to start turning to the Lord God from your sin. You need to start framing your life around the things of God, cultivating those things in your life which are good and pure. How do we overcome evil? We overcome evil, the Bible says, by good. How can we become good? Well, we cannot become good through any power of ourselves, because we're all born in sin. It is only through the grace of God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, can we become righteous in the sight of God. It is only through having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself on that cross of Calvary for wretched sinners such as us, to redeem us of all our sin, so that we can have His spotless robe of righteousness put upon us. The secret love the people had for their sins meant that they did not put in place those things that would bring God's blessing upon them. And how we see so much of that, not only in the world today, but in the many so-called professing Christians and churches today, we see so much worldliness. And this is, of course, evidently seen in the worship so many churches conduct, you know, it's full of bands and electric guitars and entertainment type worship, and worship that is primarily based upon the world, bringing in the world's ways, flashing lights. All these entertainments, of course, and amusements are there to stimulate the senses, to get people in and to keep people, of course, but there's no real work of grace. It's like a pop concert or a rock concert, but within a church. And we see so much of this, dear friends, today. You know, when I go on to things like sermon audio, if I ever see in the background drum sets or guitars, electric guitars, I won't even watch a sermon. And that should be your attitude. You know, if you are involved with a church and they've got drum sets and electric guitars and stuff like that, it is pretty obvious that they're not taking God's word seriously. There's no real awe and reverence for God's word, and they've really embraced the charismatic movement and the sensual worship. The word of God really should be reverenced, and there should be a holiness and a prepared heart when coming to worship. And it is evident, really, that we see this now within the world. No real framing of the word of God in neither homes nor churches. We see the low view, of course, in marriage. We see how many so-called professing Christians are marrying late, a bit like the world. They're pursuing their careers. We see dating, of course, which is completely unbiblical. A very low view of marriage crept into the church. No real betrothal or courtship, which the Bible teaches. The protection behind that of the parents to the children to be evenly yoked in marriage, because God desires godly seed for Christians. None of that, of course. We've adopted the world's ways. No real framing of God's word in your life for that. And anyone, of course, who dares speak up about these things will be called a legalist or some other name to shut them up. Of course, in our homes, no family devotional time anymore for families. As long as we go to the midweek meetings, the pastor or the minister will be happy with us. We can do what we want now in our homes. We can employ TV games, employing the supernatural, of course, downplaying a supernatural gospel. We can be sports fans of clubs and teams with completely immoral and terrible role models for our children. We can employ a host of other distractions. Of course, another word from the minister. We can just casually go on, as it were, in our sin. The Sabbath day, of course, we can employ trivial chat and feastings and other such things, and not truly, it cannot truly be a spiritual banquet, spiritual feast day of the Lord, to give ourselves utterly to the things of the Lord. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and everything therein, and he sanctified and made it holy. Oh no, but now, of course, we can do what we want. You know, such is the attitude of many professing worldly Christians today. They really do not frame their life around the word of God. Their doings are not framed around the word of God. And really, they forsake God's blessing. And you've got to really question how many of them are actually truly have been truly converted. You know, why will people not frame their doings to turn unto their God? You know, Hosea, the prophet Hosea, is saying they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. They will not do it. Why will people not frame their doings to turn unto their God, the God who has made them, the God who has given them everything? Why will they not do it? Well, of course, it will interfere with their sin. And yes, it's not nice being told that you're wrong. It's not nice when people point out glaring things in your life. But dear friends, if you want to be a Christian, if you truly want to be blessed and know God as your Saviour, you've got to have the bad news first, that you are a wretched, hell-deserving sinner. You or I do not have any right to heaven. We all of us are like sheep, have gone astray. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Friends, we do not deserve anything from God. But yet the Lord has made a way for us to be right through him, because he has loved us. And, you know, if you come to Christ and you seek him with all your heart, you will frame your life around him by his grace, because the love of Christ constrains us to live for him. When we believed in the gospel that Christ died for sinners such as you and me, we believe that we're buried with Christ. The old nature, our sin is buried with Christ, and that we're risen to newness of life, and we received the Holy Spirit of God in our life, the third person of the Trinity, and that that new nature is holy. It's exactly what it says it is. It is holy. It cannot sin. Only our old nature that is still within us can sin. But thank God, through our Christ Jesus, that we've got the new nature that helps us overcome and be victors over our sin, that constrains us to live for the Lord God. And that if we do sin, of course, we're ashamed of it and we repent of it. Are these truths real for you, friend? Are you framing your life around them? Do you know of these things? Is there a principle in your life to live for the Lord? Are you eager to please the Lord through grace? Are these things true of you? Are you a true Christian, a true born-again Christian? Has there been a time in your life where the Lord has saved you? You know, it is evident that many, and not only within the world, but within many churches today, have not known the Lord, as Hosea says in verse 4. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredom is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. Many people, really, you can tell, really, if people are Christians, by the life that they live, their doings, their practice. You know, many people can speak the good speak. They like I said before, they can know a lot of theology. You know, I not so long ago, I spoke to someone who said, "Well, he was very big on Calvinism. Oh, I'm a Calvinist. I do all these things." And wonderful, wonderful. But then I found out that he said, "Well, yeah, but I still go to pubs and do these things, and even clubs and things like that." And I was horrified. I said, "Those things are not right. You should not be doing those things." And he was quite offended that I was saying these things. And he thought, "Well, I'm at liberty to do these things." And I said, "You're absolutely not. God has not given us liberty, dear friends. When he saves us, we have not given liberty to carry on in sin." That's why the woman found in adultery, yes, the Lord forgave her, but he gave her a command to not carry on in sin. Go sin no more. And when we're saved by God's grace, we are to live for him. We're not to carry on and live. We're dead. And the Lord constrains us by his love to live for him. Do you know the God savingly? Have you truly sought the Lord? Is your life truly, are your doings truly framed by the things of God? Is it true? You know, it is true that we cannot, by our own power, turn to God without the special working of grace. That is true. We cannot. However, we are called to seek him, that we may happily be found in him. You know, the Lord says for us to seek him. And those that prepare not their hearts to seek the Lord, of course, will die in their sins. We're called to seek him. We're called to employ those things in our life, those things which are conducive to being saved, to reading our Bibles, giving ourselves, to seek him first in life. Yes, God alone can save us. that we need to turn to him and to seek him and to frame our doings and turn to the Lord God, the only one who can save us and bless us. It says in Jeremiah 24:7, "And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart." Have you returned to the Lord with your whole heart? Does he have your whole heart? Is that what you're living for eternal purposes? Is that the thing that most grieves you, that you want to be used of the Lord, you want to live for him, you want to please him? Or does the things in this world have your affection? Do other people have your affection? And secretly, you're giving yourselves to those things. I would say, listen to the prophet Hosea, the words the Lord gave him. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. You need to turn. You know, you need to frame your life around the Lord God and seek him with all your heart. If you're not doing that, that's what you need to do. You need to put in place, like a picture frame. When you put a picture frame up, you need to, it needs to be put in place without that frame. And you've got to put that framework in your life. You've got to make sure that you put those things in your life and seek those things in God's word. Give yourselves to him. I remember vividly when the Lord saved me whilst in a train in Italy. I might do a sermon which is just a testimony, and you can do that. But when I was saved on a train in Italy, and I was far away from the Lord, dear friends, but when he did save me, I remember just, you know, when I finished work, every night I was there in my room reading the scriptures by myself every night, over and over again. And I remember how close the Lord was to me then, how many blessings. It was such a great time as a young Christian. The Lord so mightily blessed me, and I just felt so close to the Lord. And yes, I do at times feel that closeness, but there's a special closeness when you're just saved. And do you love the Lord God with all your hearts, dear friends? Are you framing your life around him? Do you know of his grace in your life? Do you love the things that God loves? Do you love the things that God loves? Do you love the law of God? Or does that interfere with your sin? You know, when you become a Christian, you delight in the things of God. Doesn't mean you're perfect, you perfectly obey those things. Your aim is to, and you want to, but of course, there's still inbred sin. But you want to, and you desire to, and the Lord helps you to. And you're ashamed if you do have a sinful thought or something like that, and you confess that to the Lord. But do you love the things that God loves? Are you framing those things in your life? It says in 1 John 2:3-4, "And hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." You know, there is this philosophy going around in many churches today, and sad to say, it's crept into Orthodox Reformed, and even, you know, conservative Bible-believing churches, that we're under grace. We're under grace. We're no longer under the law. And yes, that's true. We are under grace, and we're no longer under the law. We're saved by grace, as it says in 2 Ephesians, one of my favourite verses. One of the first passages of scripture I was shown was, thankfully by my brother who was a Christian, was Ephesians 2:8. I'll never forget it. "By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest man should boast." I love that. We are saved by grace. But dear friends, the grace that God gives us does not give us a low view of the law. And doesn't excuse us for living a life in sin. God forbid. When God saves us, he gives us a greater view of the law. We want to live. The law is righteous, and we want to frame our life around those things. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor and obey our parents in the course of good things and those in authority. And to do those things which are good by God's grace. You know, and there is a philosophy in the church that is really excusing sin in Christians' lives. And those things should not be. We have to frame our life around those things which are good by his grace. Do you hate the things that God hates? Well, if so, the love of Christ will constrain you to frame your doings to turn to the Lord God. If that is the case, if you hate the things that God hates, well, then that will come out in your practice, in your doings, in how you frame your day-to-day life. Is that true of you? Are you framing your day-to-day life around things which are biblical? You love the things in God's word. I want to spend quiet time in the morning. I want to commit the day in the morning. I want to have family worship time, not switch on the TV or TV games or other entertainments or be I've heard of ministers trying to speak to lost people by bringing up a sports, a football club. Oh, I'm a fan of this football club. Oh, so-and-so, this person's a fan of this football club as well. Friends, these things ought not to be. We should never be a friend to the world, to the things of this world. We are to frame our life around the things of God, you know. It says in verse 5 of today's text, and the pride of Israel does testify to his face. You know, a harlot is known by her attire, isn't she? A harlot is known by her attire, how she dresses. And so a Christian is known by his fruits. And those fruits, of course, are repentance. The fruits are the repentance and faith and joy in the Lord. Do you know those things, dear friends? I really hope and pray that whoever's listening to this message today, you may be a Christian who perhaps has lost his way a little bit and needs a little bit of the spiritual rod. dear friends, don't take this personally. I've needed that from times to times. So I've had backslidings in my life, and the Lord has been very gracious, and he's brought faithful ministers in my life, and he has spoken loud like thunder from his word to me. And if you are one of those things, take it as the Lord's kindness to you. It is a loving thing, and just frame your life every day around the living word of God, and he will bless you. And seek him first, frame your life around him, turn from your sinful doings. It may interfere with your sin, and there's things which you find so hard to give up. But the more and more you read the word of God and pray to the Lord for guiding and blessing through Christ alone, the more you'll see that the Lord will help you and he will bless you. And so I do pray that whether you're a Christian or even someone who is not yet, is still a stranger to the means of grace, I do really pray that today you will put in place and frame your doings around the things of God. You will give yourselves utterly to God's word, and you will seek him with your whole heart in his word. And you will make sure you put away those things in your life which you know will take you away, the TV, the entertainments, the sports, the things that will, the lusts of this world that will take you away from the things of God. You know, you've got to put those things away from your life. I remember, sorry for bringing up this again, my personal witness, but I remember very vividly when I became a Christian that one of the first things I did was get rid of a whole lot of stuff, alcohol I had in the house and other things. I had to get rid of a lot of stuff that I had. And dear friends, I just pray that if you're listening to this, you need to get rid of those things and frame your life around the word of God by his grace alone. So I do pray that God's word may bless you this evening, and that you may know if you Take heed to God's word and you frame your life around him and you seek him with all your heart and you pray that God's word will bless you and you'll know that comfort and that guiding of the Lord God.